The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Thursday, Gary, how are you?
Good. Let's start it out with some fun, all right?
Okay.
All right. What are the Democrats saying? What's Governor Cuomo of New York saying this evening, huh? Let's check it out.
The simple point is all this comes down to this. We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
The hell does that mean?
Engaged. In what?
In what?
You mean to be married or...
I'm glad the Cuomo is promoting marriage.
Yes. Family value.
Oh, wait a minute. He's not married.
Oh, well, maybe that was his way of asking his girlfriend. That's a weird proposal, but
I don't believe. I mean, last I knew, he wasn't married. I think that would have been a big to do if he had gotten married. But,
yeah, right.
The race to the bottom for the Democrats begin.
Nah, we were never that great. So it went from refusing to wear the flag pin on your lapel.
That was
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
To we're not that great. Just saying it out loud.
I can't wait for the Democratic National Convention. I mean, if they're starting this and we're 2 years out from that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, booing God will be normal.
Well, I'm waiting for that.
Do
we have a follow-up?
I believe, if I'm a political consultant for the Democrats and they're moving left, then they need to do the right thing. And while the cameras are on the Thursday night, when the Star Spangled Banner is played, everybody should kneel. I'm giving advice to the Democrats here.
That's right. Wow.
Now, I'm trying to figure, I'm looking now, Cynthia Nixon, the actress, is running against him, as
right.
we all know.
Yeah.
Cynthia Nixon blasted New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for remarks saying America was never that great. Now, what I'm trying to find here is, did she say that America is great? Have they finally got to the point where they said something where you will have an ultra-liberal come out and say he's wrong, America was great?
You know, this is what I love about, especially when you get into, when we get to 2020 and the primaries between the left. You know, forget even getting into the main election when they get their nominee and debating President Trump. The primary is going to be just like this. Oh, we suck. No, we don't.
Well, but I was wondering, that was when I first saw the article, I thought to myself, well, what did she come out? Did she say it? Well, she tweeted it. Well, did she tweet that America was great or can be great or is great? Well, no. What she said was, I think this is just another example of Andrew Cuomo trying to figure out what a progressive sounds like and is missing it by a mile. So my expectations that they had gone too far, where they actually made another liberal state that America is great.
Well,
of course, she couldn't say that.
What she's saying maybe is that he didn't phrase it correctly. He should have said something like, we suck. You know, I mean, he didn't go full on liberal. So,
oh, man, I can't wait.
You know what?
I can't wait to the debates.
It was the latter part of that you heard that got her angry. We can be great.
No, we can't.
No, we can't. You stop it. Stop it right now.
Did you hear?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the people in the governor's audience understood that he said the wrong thing.
Yeah, they were like,
by their response, what are you doing?
What are you doing, man? Come on.
I can't wait for the debates of 2020, the primary debates mm-hmm. between the Democrat candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike America.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Well, I don't like America at all. Well, I hate America. I hate it more than you do. No, America sucks.
I'm going to burn a flag right now, here.
It's America's never been great, isn't great, and never will be great. In fact, I'm going to collude with the Russians right now because we don't stand a chance of ever being great.
Exactly.
Russia does. China does. I'm moving to North Korea. I hate America more than you do. I embrace Kim Jong-un. I mean, how far will they go? By the way, somebody's going to take that little slice of me saying, I embrace Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, right.
Here's what Gary McNamara said. He embraces Kim Jong-un.
Quote, I embrace Kim Jong-un. Well, you know, there's, of course, the fact that they're already embracing, you know, Raul Castro. They embraced his brother, Fidel.
Oh, yeah, that is so. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
we forget about that with Kaepernick.
Yeah, exactly. You got to ease into it. You know, you don't get, you know, you don't go full North Korea. You start with a tiny island, Cuba, a tiny communist, you know, not too big, right? Then you work your way up to Venezuela. But here's the thing. Venezuela is further away, right? And then, you know, North Korea, well, they have weapons. You don't go that far just yet. Eventually, you'll get there. You're on your way. And then it's pretty much from there, you go to China and put the Soviet Union back together.
Well,
Mr. Gorbachev, put up that wall.
Can you imagine the DNC together discussing this?
Yeah.
And there's Tom Perez saying, look,
no borders.
You know, right. You know, look, we can't go for North Korea right now, guys. Mm-hmm, all mm-hmm. right. Just understand, we're the Democrat Party. We know where we're going, but we can't go full North Korea. Anybody have anything to say? And Keith Ellison speaks up. He goes, no, you got to be quiet for a little bit after that comment about what would the message be that you would send to your ex-girlfriend, which is let's not destroy each other over these sexual assault allegations.
Mm. Yeah.
Keith, you can't speak. Anybody else? Anybody else out there? And then they just start chanting commies, commie, commie.
Well, yeah, I mean, they show up in uniforms
because they love.
Well, remember the RNC in 2008 when you had? I mean, that was kind of the early version of Antifa, right? The protesters that showed up. These are the anarchists, but they were all dressed the same. You're doing anarchy wrong. You guys are wearing a uniform. They remember that?
Oh, yes.
They show up, and it was where? Denver, I think. And so they, you know, here's the thing. They all protest. So they all, it's like they're all in, I picture it this way, right? They're like in the dorms at a university, and everybody is in their own room, right? Right, just saying, and here's the thing. They see it on the poster board. We're going to have a protest today at 1 p.m. So everybody just stays in their dorm room for hours making their own protest sign, and everyone comes out with a different cause. I mean, that's basically the left right now. Even on the same cause, it's a different approach. Because they are competing. It's exactly what you were saying, and we talked about this before. They compete to see how much... They right now it's I hate Trump more than you do, and I'm going to prove it. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll hold up a bloody mask. It's that kind of behavior.
And what was it? What did I see? Pearl Jam has got something now of. They had something that was advocating or implying violence towards the president.
Wow. I don't know. I don't listen to the oldie station, but I. That's the competition to stay relevant, right? But also to show that you hate more. You know, the left used to be trying to show that they care more. Now it's about hating more. Who hates more? Who's angrier?
Here it is. Rolling Stone, Pearl Jam, kill Trump and burn the White House on concert poster. We're at a tipping point. It's time for action, said bassist Jeff Amendez, said of the rationale behind the poster.
Now, this is a poster that someone in the band or their...
Yes. Pearl Jam promoted their recent Missoula, Montana concert Monday with a poster that depicted the White House in fire and a bald eagle picking at President Donald Trump's corpse. The band's bassist designed it with his artist friend, Bobby Brown. The band posted the poster on its social media with a note from the bassist explaining the motivation behind it. Y'all know the deal. We're at a tipping point and it's time for action. Then he called for Montana fans to support the re-election of Democratic Senator John Tester. He's the real deal. Nobody cares more about our country, and especially Montana.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the poster right now. So there.
And again, the words on the poster say what now?
The words on the poster don't say anything. It depicts the White House on fire.
Okay.
And a bald eagle is picking at President Donald Trump's.
All right.
Corpse. Yeah, skeleton. Right. There's skeleton there. I mean, that's what's behind it. So
okay.
That's,
yeah. Time for action.
Time for action, yes.
Yeah. No, that's completely sane. But this is it. We're gonna show that we hate more.
Now, Pearl Jam really doesn't relate to millennials.
No.
It's past millennials, because millennials are only up to 35. It's millennials. Yeah, it's
right. For some of you, your grandparents listened to Pearl Jam.
Because I keep forgetting that Pearl Jam was around in 91, 92, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're talking a good 26, 27 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which means if you were 20 at that time, you're 47 now.
Yeah, right.
So you're around 50.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the because if you're in college goes from 18 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
So with the top, and if you're just out of college, whatever, if you're in your 20s, you're now in your 50s or upper 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So your kids are like, I have no idea what they're into today.
I don't know. Hannah Montana.
I don't know what the kids are doing. I'm a curmudgeon here. I'm an old man. I don't know. What are the kids into today, Eric? I'm not really sure what they're into.
My granddaughter just went to a big concert, and I forget the name of the artists. In Dallas. It was a big deal. I didn't go.
No, it's like it was a big deal and everything else, but I forgot the name of the artist.
Her uncle took her, and which was awesome, because I wasn't going to go. Nah.
I saw some young people, though, on social media. They were in their 20s, early 30s, posting about ELO,
mm-hmm.
or Jeff Lynne's ELO being in Dallas last night.
So. Yeah, right.
That was good to see. But
yeah.
Pearl, we keep forgetting. You know, I remember when I was a kid, when I was, I don't know, when I was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and people would talk about Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, he's ancient. He's a Vegas act. I didn't appreciate Elvis at all because all my uncles and aunts loved them. I do a lot more now, but mm-hmm. I didn't back then at all. I just thought, Vegas act. He was, at the time I was thinking that, he was in his late 30s.
Yeah, right.
What's Dave Grohl now, the Foo Fighters? Isn't he closing in on, like 49? Almost 50.
Right.
I know his one guitarist is, I can't think of the name, the one guy that was in Nirvana with him,
mm-hmm.
that played with Nirvana, especially on the tours. Can't think of his name.
Pat Smear?
Pat Smear, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in his 50s. So.
Yeah, I thought he was old. Yeah. I honestly... This is that, again, that desperation, A, for an artist to be relevant again, but B, more importantly for them, to demonstrate their hatred.
Apparently, they're not trying to win the world over with love anymore.
Well, you know, how about you just write some songs, go out on tour. Hey, if you want to promote a candidate, fine. But, you know, depicting the president... dead and the White House on fire, not a good idea.
Well, it's a race to the bottom for the Democrats after Andrew Cuomo last night. What's after banning straws for the left? You and I had a good laugh over that one. Brennan loses his security clearance, but is it more imagery? And is the president not doing what he should be doing, which is the substance, which is what? Declassifying the information so the American public knows it. Cynthia Nixon responds to Cuomo. We just mentioned that. What happens to people in the private sector when they leak to the media? Keith Ellison was asked by a reporter if he had a message for his girlfriend. Not good. He's second in charge of the DNC.
Right.
Trump's lawyers prepare to fight the subpoena all the way to the Supreme Court. What would a defense be? The Manafort trial. Let me clear my throat here. Have a sip of coffee. And we'll come back with a ton of stuff, plus your calls and comments, too, if you'd like to get in. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So we're just going to have a fun show today because when I saw the Cuomo thing, you know, isn't it almost it's almost like watching a comedy show at times, isn't it?
It is.
It's like the race to the bottom. I don't even know if it gets people mad anymore because it's almost a parody of. You know, it's almost become a parody of the liberal that hates America. It's almost like they're doing it because they have to do it.
Right.
For example, I have a question. What do you think? This would be the question that I would ask Andrew Cuomo if I was a reporter. What do you think your late father would think of that comment that you made?
Yes. What would you say if he were sitting in front of you?
And then I go to the minutia. So America was never really great. Okay, never really. All right. What about World War II? Was America great then? Yeah. Well, you know, there were times when we were great. Well, you just said last night we weren't. So what's going on here? And then you start nitpicking. You start going through the times in American history where you look at it and you say, that was great, that was great, that was great, that was great, that was great. You know, I mentioned that I was visited the Alamo. And the history lesson, one of the history lessons, and it's something that I don't know, maybe most people don't know it, since most people don't know the three branches of government or the freedoms in the First Amendment. But when you see the American Revolution and when they go through the history of how many revolutions around the world, and especially in Latin America and Central America, that the American Revolution caused, and how the concept of republicanism, a republic, seemed in this entire hemisphere and in places in Europe, the French Revolution, really took hold. You realize a lot of things that the left bash of not being great really created a lot of greatness.
Right. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
Although the heaviest of rainfall has ended, significant flooding continues across parts of New York and Pennsylvania. Some of the areas hardest hit include Dauphin, Lebanon, and Schuylkill counties, the Port Carbon and Hershey Park areas. State College and Williamsport have set July rainfall records. And throughout the Mid-Atlantic, including Baltimore, we've seen record rainfall. So a break in the rain for that region today, but again, creeks, rivers, streams will be rising. And there is more rain in the forecast for the region tomorrow, Friday, and for Saturday. Monsoonal moisture is expected today in portions of New Mexico and Arizona, right around the I-10 area. A few drops of rain are expected in Southern California, but not enough to make an impact on wildfires. Most of the rain today will stay east of the Mississippi, and throughout the day will be headed for the Tennessee Valley and portions of the upper Great Lakes. Spotty showers along the Gulf states. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
scare people. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. And let's pretend we're doing a liberal talk show. Let's pretend there's a new liberal network and just for a moment. And what kind of show they'd be doing later on today? Something like, "Hi, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's Michael Moore. And our question today for our audience: has America ever been great?
No.
Has America always been horrible?
Yes.
Is there any instance in American history where America has even been tolerable?
No.
Great, good, average, tolerable, oppressive, worse than the Soviet Union and China under Mao? That's our question for today on Liberal Radio. I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. He's Michael Moore. Seriously. Because that's the question that they're having. Think about it, because they will be having, how do we approach this now?
Make America hate again.
This is where the Democrat Party is. And look, I don't like, you know, we have, and in fact, got a good email from a listener who said, "You guys aren't the only ones saying it." And we have said the president's getting in these, fights in the dirt with people that don't matter. Right. And he's not promoting what he should be promoting, which is the great economy and the good things that he has done.
Yeah, stay on the big picture. Make sure that you promote everything that you have done, because no one else is going to give you credit for it.
But every time I sit there and I shake my head, I say, I can't believe the president did this. He could be promoting the great things that he's doing. He could act more positive. He's got to understand this isn't a campaign anymore. I mean, it's always a campaign, but you're not just a campaigner anymore. You're president. People expect you to be promoting on a consistent basis the positive news that you're doing. You should be promoting the positive news 24/7. You shouldn't be picking fights. And this goes to here. David sent this. He goes, "The following paragraph from a piece at National Review supports your oft-repeated contention that Trump should be focusing on his achievements rather than the trifles that distract from those achievements." And here's a quote here. "As for Trump's supposedly superb salesmanship, it's true that the president isn't bashful about claiming credit. But if he were really expert at seizing credit for good news, Trump wouldn't be spending as much time and energy distracting the public from the news of his economic success. His tweets and statements are a never-ending stream of arguments, complaints, and abuse directed at opponents that make it harder for voters to concentrate on the central fact of a robust economy that is bringing down unemployment and raising wages for his working-class supporters. Mm-hmm. As well as satisfying big business. If the Republicans lose control of Congress this fall, it will be because Trump isn't as good a salesman as either he or his opponents think he is, and it will disprove James Carville's rule that elections are always about the economy, stupid." Mm-hmm. And that was Jonathan Tobin of National Review wrote that. But every time I think, oh, man, just going in the wrong way, it's almost like the next day the Democrats say, "Hold my beer."
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe, Mr. President, this is a race to the bottom, we can get there a lot quicker than you. America sucks.
Yeah,
it's never been great. It's always, it's like, wow. Okay, go ahead if you think that's going to work. If you're a Democrat, go ahead.
But, and this isn't some, you know, unknown saying this.
No.
It's a Cuomo saying it.
It's a Cuomo.
And we were never great. It's like somebody, it's like he's that guy at the bar that's always at the bar. You go to the bar and he's sitting at the end of the bar in that same seat, and he's been there for 40 years. And you go in there and you're going to sit down and have an adult beverage. And he's just, America was never great. That's what it sounds like. The guy, the old curmudgeon, he just can't get over it. Something This is the problem that the left has. And this is exactly what is really going to be on full display in 2020. I mean, the president tweeted, was it last week, I think, the midterms can't get here soon enough. Really, 2020 can't get here soon enough because, first of all, it's going to be the primary. Oh, that's going to be good. And then it's going to be the campaigning, the rallies and everything else. And in order for them to connect with the activist base, the far left, then they're going to have to be angrier than the last person. That each one of them is going to have to out anger and out hate the other one. Well, I hate Trump. I hate Trump more. And it's just going to be ramped up to the nth degree. You can't really roll that back. If you walk in and try and milquetoast it, it is not going to work for you. You're going to have to show that you, because the other part of that is, what are they going to promote? Well, you promote not Trump. Well, it's hard to do that when you stay on the issues, right? We don't need lower taxes. We don't need all these jobs being created. We're not that great. I mean, it's the only thing you can do is really show your hatred for him. If you're on the left, that's going to basically be the primary pillar of your campaign. And the other three will be the free stuff. And that's the way this thing's going to play out. And Americans are going to sit back and they're going to eat their popcorn going, wow.
Well, you know, he was at a bill signing ceremony, mm-hmm. fighting for New York women and girls. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to admit that in New York, I'm going to guess that in New York, for a bill like that, it was loaded with liberals. And you heard mm-hmm. the audible gasp in the audience when he said that. They were like, what in the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Look, we all hate America. You just can't say it.
Right. Your mic's on. You know? We can hear you. But that's where it is. Because how do you top the other person? This is the protester politician. That's what the left has become. And you've got to ramp it up. So what was next? I mean, the self-loathing. The last president went on a world apology tour. We're sorry for being America. Sorry about that. We're sorry. Didn't mean it. Sorry. Our fault. Our bad. And now it's gotten to, and you know, like I said with him during the campaign season, he pretty much refused until, you know, the last part of it to wear the lapel pin, the flag pin, Barack Obama. And then now you ramp it up to, because there's no, you don't roll that back. You don't change directions in something like that, because you'll never connect with the base if you try and do that. There's only one way to go, and that's top the other person. America was never great.
Well, I'm thinking here, and there was one thing about Omarosa's book that really is true about the Democrats right now, and it is the title, Unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to attack a candidate. People expect that. But they are so unhinged that anything that he says, no matter what it is, you know, they have to go after. For example, when the president says, let's make America great again, really that statement, if you're not being a partisan, is more of an economic statement.
Right.
If you know anything about this president, it's an economic statement. Mm-hmm. Let's get the growth that we used to. And I think he's talking about the growth that we had, the economic growth.
Right.
In the 50s and in the 60s post-World War II. that he believes that we should get to again.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the specifics. We can talk about terrorists. We can talk about whether his economic plan is great or not. And we can talk about the substance all day and go back and forth on it. But that political statement is really what that means. If you follow this president and you know about it, that's what it means. When he says make America great again, the president and what they're trying to imply, and Cuomo was doing it in tweets last night, we're not going back to segregation and the KKK. President doesn't want to go there.
Who has said
that
was great? Tell me one politician that's saying we go back to those things.
You're talking about he's like everybody. We look at it, what in our lifetime? Well, thank goodness, in my lifetime, nothing's ever been great, and we're doomed.
we are doomed. It's going to be great,
but we're doomed. But if you're somebody who was, if you've grown up in that era, that really has been part of the culture that exists of somebody that is that age. If you're in your 70s right now and you grew up in the 50s and 60s, a lot of people look back and they say our economy was growing. We were really great, at that point. We need to get back to an economy like that. It's an economic statement by the president. If you're not being a partisan jerk, you understand by the history of this president. Whether you agree with him or not on the specifics of different issues, that slogan is an economic slogan that comes from the president. Mm-hmm. And anybody who says it is not is just being a political hack.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have taken that and just generally just say America's never been great again.
Right.
It was never really that great. And it's not that great now. And it's just... It's like now you're not attacking the candidate, you're attacking the people in the history of this country. And look, most people are reasonable. Everybody understands. Well, okay, I'm not going to say everybody because we go through the polling over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people understand the history of this country.
Yeah.
Many people understand this, and we all know that any human endeavor, no matter what it is not perfect, and nobody is claiming that it's perfect. But to say that America was never even really great, that is a completely inaccurate statement to the majority of Americans. To say that there's never been anything really great about this country, you're not attacking a candidate. You're attacking the soul of what, of people and their core beliefs. I mean, it's just so bad. And every time I look at the Republicans and even Trump and say you're not marketing what you should be doing correctly, it's going to hurt you in the upcoming election. The Democrats go, hold my beer. America sucks completely.
Yes.
It's like, wow, do you want to win?
Well, I'm just wondering that if we were never great, why did his family immigrate to America? Why is that?
Well, that's why I said, his father, even for the liberal that he is,
right.
I wonder if his late father, that'd be like, would you think your late father would approve of that statement coming from you?
Right.
Whether Mario Cuomo?
Right.
Would approve of that? Mario Cuomo, who's on the, on the series, you had the Ken Burns special, remember baseball?
Mm-hmm.
And talks about how great baseball is and how it unites. I guarantee if you talked to Mario Cuomo, he would say, well, yeah, as a liberal, I can say there were things that we did wrong in this country. Well, I can say that as a conservative, there are things we did wrong in this country. But were there great moments in this country? Absolutely. Has this country done great things? Absolutely. So I really wonder what his father would have said.
And still today, people risk their lives to come here.
His statement, you're turning off older Democrats with his statement.
Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Ken Kurt, and more of your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour. But we had to cover that because, again, and I didn't hear it until I woke up right before I came in. And I had, like, three text messages from friends. Hey, you got to talk about this, like what Cuomo said. And I'm like, what could Cuomo say that would get to me? They closed the video. Like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I,
and the first thing I thought of, wonder what Cynthia Nixon's response is going to be. No, America, you're saying America was never really great? Oh, well, it sucks.
Well, and there's, you know, this, seriously, I don't know that there's enough popcorn in the world for the 2020 primary.
Oh, no, there isn't. No.
For the Democrat.
No, no. Let's race to the bottom as quickly as we possibly can.
Well, because, I mean, you know, they'll counter each other, you know, on stage, but really it's all going to be about the hatred for Trump, which is going to make it kind of an odd situation during that primary anyway. I mean, they I guess that's fairly typical, but what's different is this is more of a personal hatred. It won't be on the issues.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Now we got a number of things to talk about today, but clearly the audio cut of the day is Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, who's getting ready with his campaign theme here for 2020 at a presentation last night. It was a bill signing presentation in New York, and here's what the good governor had to say.
The simple point is all this comes down to this. We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
Whatever the heck that means, but as far as I know, Democrats actually don't want the people to be engaged and be knowledgeable.
No.
But, you know, the point is where he said, we're not going to make America great again. So think about the first part of it. He's not only saying America was never really great. He's saying we're never going to make America great.
Yeah.
We're doomed.
Well,
I told you the Democrats have their own version of we're doomed.
Well,
now.
No, this is we're doomed week on the left. You had Michael Moore.
Yeah.
You know, it's over. Yeah. Then you had the liberal commentator, and she wrote, you know, the piece about we should do away with the presidency.
Right.
Which is to do away with, well, SCOTUS and the Senate.
The Senate, you'd have to get rid of that.
I mean,
yes,
you know, just
because she wanted to get rid of the presidency, the Electoral College, which means on the Senate you'd have to get rid of.
I mean, she wants to drain the entire swamp and then fill it with cement. Just be done. And then, of course, now you top it off. And well, we say top it off. Who knows what they'll do? This clearly is we're doomed week on the left. Cuomo saying, we're never going to make it great again. We were never really that great. What are you people looking at me for? Why are you guys looking? He is like that drunk at the end of the bar. Why are you people looking at me?
And Cynthia Nixon's response was that, no, we are going to make America great again. And America has had its great moments. Cynthia Nixon, the far-left actress who was running against Cuomo, said, well, he's trying to act like a liberal.
Yeah.
Not succeeding, but he's trying to act like a liberal.
Yeah.
But he truly doesn't hate America. See,
yes.
I wonder if that's going to be her response.
The problem is he doesn't mean it.
Yeah,
I mean it.
Right. He doesn't really hate America. I do. And he does think America can be great again, and he does think America has been great. Look. His father, you know, Mario Cuomo would probably disagree with him. These are Democrats that do believe that America can be great and has been great. And I'm a true liberal. We're not and never have been and never will be.
Yeah.
Will that be her speech?
You said it, but you don't mean it, Cuomo.
Oh,
I mean
geez.
It.
Hold my beer.
It's
the race
week.
The race to the bottom. That's what it is. I mean, that's what we're dealing with.
Make America hate again. This is going to be good. It is going to be interesting watching the midterm. Yeah, I've got some interest there. But the big game in 2020. Because by the time we get there, think about this. How it completely ramped up the day after the election, and we still have 2 full years before the left chooses their nominee. And who knows what the crazy will be like by the time we get there.
I'm sorry, but Charles Cook in National Review's headline from last night, Andrew Cuomo was never that great.
Yeah, that's...
Cuomo is... just listen to this line. Cuomo is everyone and nobody all at once. I am a Muslim, he proposed last January, provoking widespread consternation. During the same speech, he also became Jewish, black, gay, disabled, and a woman seeking to control her health and her choices. Mm-hmm. Conspicuously missing from his list was the one self-descriptor that explained his overzealous schizophrenia. Quote, I am a white guy running for office in the Democratic Party in 2018.
Exactly. Yeah. It's... You know,
it's just genius writing. I'm sorry.
That's great. I said, I don't know, a couple of months ago that the people of New York will never elect someone named Nixon. But I could be wrong on that.
No, look, they'll elect Cuomo because they don't care.
Because they agree. Yeah. No, you know what? He's right. We were never that great. Who are we to say we're great? We're not going to make it great. Mm-hmm. How are we going to make it great? You going to make it great? No, me either. Okay.
The only thing he really can't be is what George Pataki found. Mm-hmm. You can campaign in New York. Well, you could. I don't know if you can today. But you used to be able to campaign in New York about fiscal responsibility. Mm. And you could propose, when you got into office, some fiscal conservatism. But by the time you get to your second term, you're full on, don't even touch that stuff anymore.
Yeah, right.
And we remember when Cuomo first won, and he talked about the millionaire's tax. And this is where we have said, liberals actually do know how an economy works. Mm-hmm. Because it was Cuomo who came out against the millionaire's tax.
Yeah, right.
And said things like, and I'm paraphrasing here, but said, look, I can't afford to be a liberal in this case. Why? Because he understood that if you put a millionaire's tax in, that you are going to have, millionaires are the people that have the ability to leave, mm-hmm, and shift their money, and they will.
Yep.
And the fact is, the millionaires pay such enormous amount of taxes to begin with as a share of the taxes that if they don't pay it and avoid it and you raise it, well, then that means the burden goes on people who make fewer dollars.
Yeah.
And eventually he had to give up on that. Eventually he had to say, you know, I can't win it. I remember George Pataki, even as a Republican, you know, ran. I was living up there at that point when Pataki was in office as a Republican. And he talked about a lot of fiscal things. And by the time he got to his second term, he had really dropped any form of being a conservative because you just can't win in New York doing it. Mm-hmm. I think that you can be a Cynthia Nixon can win in New York if a Cuomo wasn't running against her.
Right.
Cynthia Nixon is not. And by the way, I'm not talking to all of New York. I want to make this clear. Mm-hmm. There are this is one thing that people don't understand. There are people you have Republicans in New York that are extremely conservative, mm-hmm, especially in the rural areas. There are extremely conservative people. You're just not the majority. Mm-hmm. And that's why. And I'm not telling if you're listening right now and you know, on you know, one of our great stations in the Albany area, or, you know, Rochester, Syracuse, Binghamton, whatever. I mean, in the areas outside of New York City, tons of conservatives. So I recognize that you're there. You're just not the majority. So being from New York, I know Cynthia Nixon could win. Mm-hmm. It's just she's facing Cuomo.
Right.
And you can't beat that name in New York State. And by him saying things like he said, it's not going to hurt him. He may go down a point or two, and he'll rebound. But you cannot be, in my opinion, especially now, because they've even moved further left. The left has moved further left, not only across the nation, but in California and even in New York. So this really isn't going to hurt him. And, you know, Cynthia Nixon may believe that, you know, that it may help her a little bit. And, you know, maybe it'll close at a couple of points. But will she, you know, will she still be defeated by 30 points? Yes. Because you cannot, it's impossible in New York to go too far left. It really is.
Yeah. Well, and far left these days means over the top. Crazy.
Yes. Well, not just because, remember, this isn't about hating Trump anymore. This is about hating America. This is about not seeing the reality of what America is. This is about not having actually a critical thinking look at history of the United States. Because what the left will say is, well, see, people like Trump think the country has always been perfect, and it hasn't. We've had our problems. I'm sure the president recognizes that there have been bad points in the history of our country, like everybody else does. But there's also been great points in our country, which is the things that he's pointing out. Mm-hmm. And as we have said, making America great again, in my opinion, not putting on my political partisan or political partisan hat today, if you look at that overall, that's an economic statement. As we said earlier, it's about the economy. It's about making America great again. Post-World War II, the biggest boom of an economy, you know, you take it from the 50s, 60s, and into the first part of the 70s, probably one of the biggest economic booms in what? The history of the world at that point. And he wishes to get back to that. He's not supporting the KKK. He's not supporting segregation. The people that are supporting him are not supporting segregation again. And that's the point. Cuomo was trying to make that point last night after being attacked by Trump.
Well, we're not going back to the KKK and segregation.
Well, you're arguing something that Trump is not arguing, and nobody who is supporting Trump is arguing that. It's an economic statement.
Yes, and it is that horrible attempt at a straw man argument. You know, they've really quit trying. I mean, it is really a race for the bottom. Let's race all the way to the bottom and get as low as we can.
And that's why I said to the last part of last hour, and I think it's important to bring up again. You have a ton of Democrats that listen to that kind of statement and say, look, you're not attacking Trump. You're attacking that's an attack of the country.
Yes.
That's an attack on many people's soul.
Right.
Because there are many Democrats that may hate Republicans, but in their heart they do believe that there have been great things that have happened in America.
Yeah, if you're a liberal, you could easily get away with, look, in order to make America truly great again, we have to get a different president.
Well, yeah, but
you could say something like that.
But you also do have, you may not have moderates actually, you know, maybe a Joe Manchin or something like that, but you may not have a very small minority of moderates in actually the Democrat Party, the politicians. But you saw what happened in Pennsylvania. You saw what happened in Michigan. You saw what happened in Wisconsin. You do have, there are working class and, well, when you say working class, I mean, you're fitting a certain demographic, but you have Democrats that still have, and I know, because we've talked about Tim Russert before. When Tim Russert wrote his book, Tim Russert came from South Buffalo.
Right.
South Buffalo's been hugely Democrat for years. The former mayor, Jimmy Griffin, was a Democrat in the 80s and 90s, Democrat mayor, absolutely pro-life, absolutely conservative in many of his values, as is South Buffalo. There are still many Democrats, and I mean people that vote Democrat, not in the actual party, but people that are Democrat, that hear that kind of talk and don't like it. They are patriotic. Mm-hmm. They may be more populist than they are conservative, which attracted many of them to Trump to begin with. But the fact is, they are patriotic, and when they hear that kind of talk, they don't like it. Mm-hmm. But still in New York, it's not enough.
No.
In New York, it's still not enough. It may be on the national scale, as we saw, to move it when it comes to a national election, but it's not going to move it in New York. You cannot go far left enough. You can hate America completely if you are a name in New York, and you'll get elected every time.
Yeah. Yep. And it's always fun to watch. Telling you, the popcorn moments just don't stop these days. Seriously, think about 2 years from now. How crazy will it be when you get into the real election season and they've chosen their nominee? Because because look at where we went from November of 2016 to where we are now. Well, Trump is really just getting started. And if the Republicans win in the fall, if they maintain power, and heaven forbid for those on the left, they actually even gain a few seats in the Senate. Well, it will be off the rails.
Well, so you don't think that the Democrats will reassess their situation like they did after their defeat in 2016 and say that we need to go to the heartland, we need to get on planes and visit places in the Midwest and things like that? Did they ever do that? Did they ever come to the Midwest?
No. They went to lunch and came back and went, okay. What did we say before lunch? What was that thing? We had some kind of crazy idea. Never mind.
866-90-RED-EYE.
When it comes to proper tire care and maintenance, what can you do to improve fuel economy? Jason Evans is Director of Store Operations for GCR Tires and Service, and he tells us.
Fuel economy is certainly something on the top of everybody's mind. So I think the industry in general is beginning to understand the importance of things like air pressure. But just to throw an idea out there that maybe not all our listeners hear all the time, is check your tread depths. Check your tread depths, particularly on dual wheel positions where tires are bolted together and essentially forced to rotate down the road at the same speed, because for $2 in your local truck stop, you can find a tread depth gauge. Anything beyond 1/8 of an inch difference, or commonly referred to as 4/32 in the tire industry, between dual positions can really add to rolling resistance. Not only does it add to rolling resistance, it tears up your tires faster, and in a lot of cases, it's a similar condition in terms of a fuel economy as having maybe a brake dragging. That may be a tidbit out there for the listeners to really key in on, because mismatched tread depths on duals can really add to rolling resistance.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour is sponsored by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Well, let's go to Ken in Illinois about Governor Cuomo's statement last night. Hi, Ken. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. First time caller.
Thanks.
I love listening to you guys.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, when he said fully engaged...
Yeah.
It won't be done until they're fully engaged.
Yes.
He must have scared a bunch of liberals, because no liberal wants a fully engaged voter.
Yeah. No, you're right. Gary said it in a different way, and that is, you know, you want to go, you don't want the voter to be informed. I mean, I think it was Jonathan Gruber who coined the phrase stupid American voter. He was one of the architects of Obamacare, and the idea was, we're going to phrase it in a way. We're going to sell it in a way, promote it in a way.
Lie.
We're going to lie, and this stupid American voter is going to come right along with us. And the Democrats did. And that's what they think the left has for a long time. They think that their constituents, their voter base is stupid. They want them to be willfully ignorant. They want to be able to get by on slogans like hope and change, or motivate in a way that doesn't involve too much. And if you need any example of that, it's not any more, you know, just that the rank and file are willfully ignorant. They have people winning elections that are willfully ignorant. Ocasio-Cortez, the most recent example.
Completely clueless in how the world runs.
Yep.
Willing to have the conversation. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. 1 week from today, we'll kick off the Great American Trucking Show in downtown Dallas. You can go to truckshow.com, truckshow.com. Register early so you don't have to stand in line there at registration. You can just show up and get your badge and go on in. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Convention Center in downtown Dallas. And there is truck parking available at Fair Park. But if you go to truckshow.com, get all the details. We're going to be out there. And our friends at Overdrive and Red Eye Radio are proud to present the Trucker Talent Search. I've been talking to some of the finalists and had great conversations, as they will compete for $1,000. And a studio recording session, courtesy of Axel Outpro. And we want to thank everybody for being involved in that great contest. So we'll see you there 1 week from today, August 23rd through the 25th. It goes Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Dallas Convention Center in downtown Dallas, truckshow.com.
You were just telling me about the one woman from that New Mexico compound, the
right.
Muslim extremist there, and the children training camp, terrorist training camp.
Yeah.
And I had seen when I saw the story the other day, and when she was initially taken in by federal authorities or federal customs officials, I went, why? Why is it? They didn't explain it in the article. I don't know if I told you that last night on the air. I was wondering what it was. But you had found out later on, we found out that she had been in the country illegally for, what, 20 years?
20 years. She's 35. That means she came here at 15 and overstayed her visa. So she's been here illegally for a number of years. And the, you know, when you look at that entire, you know, setup there in New Mexico and in rural area, you know, there are a lot of places. Keep in mind that situation, the authorities were alerted because other locals saw some activity they thought was suspicious. They did some surveillance a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, weren't able to really gain anything that would allow them to get in and search the area. But then finally they did. There was some information that came in, and it was connected to a kidnapping from Georgia. So all of this setup, though, where, I mean, they were training these kids for some kind of mass shooting. 11 children, ranging in different ages, that were not getting food, not getting water, and being trained to kill. And I wonder here on, you know, when you think about the insane sanctuary city policy, imagine that they had taken these children and they were holed up somewhere in a, you know, I don't know, an apartment or a house somewhere in one of these sanctuary cities. And you have mayors of those cities giving deference to individuals, including the most dangerous of those who are here illegally, over the federal authorities. And you know that that's happening because we have MS-13 has a presence in many, if not all, major cities.
Well, here's one for you. Daily Caller has this, and again, will the mainstream media cover this? Hmm. This is why you need vetting of anybody who comes into this country.
Yes.
Even when they claim they want refugee status.
Right.
Why? A suspected Islamic State member wanted for murder in Iraq faces extradition after being arrested Wednesday by the FBI's joint terrorism task force in California, where he applied for refugee status. Federal authorities say Omar Amin, 45, is wanted for the June 2014 murder of an Iraqi police officer. An Iraqi court alleges that Amin and a group of ISIS fighters entered after a town was taken over by ISIS. He and other ISIS members drove to the home of this officer and allegedly began firing at him. Amin allegedly shot the officer, who was lying on behalf of the ground on behalf of ISIS. According to the extradition document filed in federal court on Wednesday, Amin fled following the alleged crime and settled in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Amin arrived in the United States on November 4th, 2014. Has been in this country for almost 4 years now.
Wow.
Is a member of ISIS, killed a cop, but applied for refugee status. On the resume, including in the government's filing, Amin claimed to have worked as an auto mechanic in Sacramento, also claims to have worked as a truck loader and laborer in Salt Lake City beginning in January of 2015. Amin concealed his terrorist affiliations in an application for refugee status. He also applied for a green card. The government's court filing says that the FBI has had Amin under investigation since 2016 for fraud and the misuse of visas. During the investigation, which included interviews with 8 witnesses, the Bureau was able to corroborate Amin's membership in the actions on behalf of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, including the murder. But here is somebody who has been roaming free in the United States for 4 years,
yep,
as a member of ISIS in order to escape a crime in Iraq, came to the United States, claimed refugee status, and for 4 years was roaming around the United States free.
Authorities saying that his family actually helped to foster the Iraqi presence of Al-Qaeda. The Iraqi branch of Al-Qaeda, his family back in 2004, helped to put all of that together, according to authorities.
Inside the United States.
Yep.
And the Democrats claim that we don't need vetting, that we must make it much easier. In fact, are promoting open borders.
That's right.
Even with all the security that we claim that we have here, how many more members of ISIS, you have to ask this question, are roaming around the United States that came in here and have claimed refugee status? I believe that if your job as president of the United States or a member of Congress is to protect the American people from our enemies, that extreme vetting should be a requirement. Please tell us where we're wrong.
And yet it's all about, and they're, you know, this is something that has been getting louder and louder and louder on the left. And it's not even, you know, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Open borders.
Open borders. So Amin should be able to come in and just, you know, hang out. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to file for anything. You shouldn't have to ask. Come on in.
Does anybody view that as reasonable? By the way, will the mainstream media promote a story like this?
You know, we know that ISIS, we know that terrorists are here. They are here. But it's it's one of those things in the back of your mind where you kind of assume it, but you don't put a face to it. You don't put a name to it. Imagine the people of Sacramento. Imagine waking up knowing that one of the guys who helped actually put Al-Qaeda in Iraq in 2004 is living in your town.
And has been for years.
So it won't be sanctuary city policy if the left gets their way. It will be, well, sanctuary USA.
Well, they want open borders.
Yep.
That's what they're claiming.
Right.
And now no ICE, no border patrol. And now to move from your delusional fairyland to the reality of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the two American bikers, you know, that, you know, decide to ride their bicycles and, you know, around the world to mm-hmm. show that the world is really a nice place. And mm-hmm. they were
Tajikistan,
yes, mm-hmm. in Central Asia.
Yeah.
And it claimed it was, you know, then they were promoting it. And so mm-hmm. they were purposely rammed by a car and then stabbed to death. Because they were promoting the fact that everybody is peaceful, and you know, and
right.
so they were targeted. They and a group of others that were riding to show that the world is a friendly place, and we can, you know, basically go anywhere because basically people are friendly. They ended up being killed. Now they claim government officials claim it wasn't ISIS, but it was an Islamic political group, a radical Islamist political group that killed these two Americans and. A few others that were riding bicycles with them, but the car rammed them and then stabbed, you know, and then people got out of the car and stabbed them to death.
Right.
Targeted them
mm-hmm.
because they knew what their message was. That's a difference between living in a, and I'm sorry, with all due respect, it's terrible that that happened. And yes, people should be able to travel the world freely without being bothered. People should be able to travel through the United States without being harassed. But that's why we have a Second Amendment in the United States. That's one of the reasons that we have it. Is so you can defend yourself, because even if you live in a civil society, there are bad people out there. And so that's a difference between living in a fairy tale delusional world and the reality of what the actual world is, and the fact that you, as an individual, should be prepared, and you have a responsibility to prepare yourself and your family for the bad things that may happen to you.
Yes.
And as a country, we should prepare ourselves.
You have to be able to assess risk.
Right.
You have to be able to, you know, certainly people want to move about freely, and that's the great thing about the U.S. And, in fact, we've been told by a number of experts over the years, one of the reasons you don't see this wide-scale attack is because we do have the Second Amendment, because we have many gun owners, and an enemy would meet resistance.
Which means also we need not to have a delusional mindset on the threats that we face from the outside of people that wish to come in this country and hide and then form terrorist cells.
And by the way, I mean, it is this insanity. If you need any current example, you look at what was going on at this makeshift compound in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they were using children is because they know authorities would be hesitant or all out unwilling to kill children that are killing other children. If this was designed to be a massive shooting at a school and young children were involved in that, they know that the authorities would be in that situation where they would not want to kill young children with guns. And this is what they're willing to do. This is the type of evil that's not somewhere else. It's here. Open borders. Who's with the left on that? No ICE. Abolish ICE.
Well, ICE keeps ISIS out.
Yep. And we'll see where the left goes, but they're not going to reverse. It's not going to happen.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Coming up following the top of the hour, the president pulls the security clearance of ex-CIA Director John Brennan. Not that it really means much. It's more, to me, symbolic than anything else, and I have no problem him pulling it, but I think there are other things that the president should do. I agree with others out there, as we have said all along, that it's time that the president says, okay, let's start declassifying some of this stuff that, so we can find out what's going on. All this is strictly symbolism. It doesn't move the investigation forward in any manner or form. And I think that substance needs to be done on this now, and transparency needs to be done on this.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it really has to head. The only way to really find the truth is that, because I suspect, like others, that that Mueller, if anything, is likely just to put out a report. You put out a report sometime this fall or maybe next spring, and then what are you left with?
No, I want to find out the truth that happened. Yep. in all this. I think the American people should know that, you know, should know whether you had an administration that spied on an incoming administration and did it based on fraudulent evidence to get a secret warrant. The American public should know whether that's true or not true, and they should also know whether the candidate Trump colluded with the Russians to hack or change the outcome of the election, too. Let's do it across the board. Transparency here.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Thank you for being here. I'm happy that I'm here. I'm happy that I'm alive. After driving home yesterday, you know, I went didn't go the toll road yesterday. Went back home. Got to get on I-35. Then it goes on to this other highway that's under construction.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know the area that I'm talking about, and they've got construction going on, and there's a lot of curves in it. I mean, they've changed the road, and they've got the concrete barriers up, but I'm used to where it is. So I'm in my old vehicle, not my new one. I'm in my old vehicle, so. All of a sudden I said, there's a little bit of dust up there ahead, you know, construction dust. You can see it, and sometimes you'll see it come. And I start slowing down. Well, it's, I believe it's 60, 65 miles an hour in that area, even with the construction. So I start slowing down, and I see a little bit like this cloud. All of a sudden I hit this cloud. I cannot see 1 foot in front of me. And there's a vehicle probably 300 feet in front of me, and I did check my rearview mirror. There was nobody behind me. But I had to hit the brakes because I couldn't see. For 10 seconds, Eric, I couldn't see anything. Wow. And it was just, and I probably had it slowed down to 30 or 35 miles an hour. I'm expecting to hit a concrete wall.
Right.
Because I just, and I'm thinking, and it lasted about 10 seconds. When I came out, I'm just thinking in my mind, where does this road go? Because you know the little turns because of the construction. You know, in that road. And then I came out of it and I went, what the hell was that?
Right.
And I don't know if it was under the road where they have an underpass or whatever. But I mean, there was just construction dust that came up that was as bad as any, it was worse than any whiteout I'd ever seen up north. Because in a whiteout, still, if you've got, you know, your fog beams on, you can see a little way. I couldn't see 1 foot in front of my car.
Hmm.
It was that bad. For a good I'm going to guess 10 seconds. That seemed like it was, I don't know, 10 minutes because.
Yeah, well, it's scary.
It's amazing how quick time is and then how time just slows down. And I, you know, I started thinking with, if I'd had my new car, and my, you know, my new car has the, cruise control radar.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it would have been able to still, through that dust, see the car in front of me. And I don't know. I don't know whether it could read it or not.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or whether it could read. Really, when it starts moving like that, it really can't read the lines on the road because it also reads the lines on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I'm just happy I'm here because and the funny thing is, it's like all of a sudden I'm out of it. And I was, you know, shaking a little bit. You know, but a minute later, I'm like, okay, next. It's amazing how we go through these times in life. Okay, next.
Yeah.
I just wonder if there was an accident there. I had never, and I started thinking to myself, if I get in an accident, is somebody responsible for that?
I don't know of any regulation that would keep them, there are some cities, by the way, where you have to essentially spray the dirt area, the construction area, with water each day. Now, I don't know if I actually don't know if the city that you were in has that regulation. But many of them do it not because of a safety hazard, but because the dust is annoying.
It was either Irving or Dallas, because mm-hmm. it's right with that. I'm not sure exactly what that area is.
Right.
Probably about a mile before you get to where the old Dallas Cowboys Stadium was located.
Yeah, so. Okay.
But I'm not, it's right on the border there of Irving and Dallas.
Right.
But, I don't know how long it lasted, and I couldn't see behind me. I don't know if there were people that got in an accident behind me. If that lasted any length of time, and you had cars side by side going into it, there would have been an accident. Because you couldn't see anything, and it was purely construction dust that was being put up. So it was first time I've ever experienced anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not like weather conditions that can be, you know, where there could be a forecast and tell you, hey, there's going to be dense fog, you know, tomorrow morning or whatever, and it's known, and you can adjust for it. Something right. like this is just happens, and I don't know what you do.
It's not even like when you know you're going into fog and you put on your fog lights and it may be really dense fog, but you can still see 50 feet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't see 1 foot.
Yeah.
Wow. What's the other thing that ticked me up? Oh, yeah. You know, on social media, you know how I always talk about and nobody else may be getting upset about it, but I get upset because, you know, LinkedIn on social media, people are starting to use that for politics now. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, stop it. Stop using LinkedIn for politics.
Yeah, I was eventually going to get there.
And the thing is, I don't know why, because I'm never on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I was never on it, and then I downloaded the app. So it was always just updating. You've got 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I always check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's all politics. I'm like, no, I want to know what people may be doing in business. This isn't a political realm. This is the business realm. And people are. So that leads me into this next thing on social media. Because it was pretty funny yesterday, but it's also indicative. It's also a good lesson of where we're going in our society. There is that other app called Nextdoor, and mm-hmm. it's a neighborhood app. And I was invited on it probably 3 years ago. And, you know, it's used, especially if there's an emergency. Now, you can edit it that you only get notified if it's like an urgent police or safety matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because people around there, most of what people are doing are selling stuff. You know, in your neighborhood, they're selling. I got this for sale. I got this for sale. Pick this up free if you want it. But it's also updates. The police will give you updates if the electricity is off. You know, the electric company will come in, you know, on that. And you get an email for, you know, and I'm for anything, you know, urgent, emergency, utilities, police.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden I see this email and it's, you know, that I get. And it says, you know, check your Nextdoor app. And it says police shooting. So I'm like, oh man. And I can see the headline is in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately go to the, you know, what's going on? So I immediately go to it. It's like, police shooting radar on the main road that comes in.
That's not urgent.
No, and it came off an urgent thing. Police, and it, the guy wrote it, police shooting radar. And it was like, they're always got radar on that part of the road.
Well, I mean, and it was the first day of school.
Right, first day of school. Right, exactly, first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, people got, they weren't extremely upset, but they got mildly upset saying, what are you doing? Don't put police shooting. If you want to put police radar, but that's not an urgent message.
Well, people speed across the bridge all the time, and they get,
what doesn't matter? Police, but people speed all the time. That's not urgent. If you wish to do it, that's not an urgent thing. Urgent, you know, and so then you get into this whole thing about, you know, what is the app for? And I'm enjoying the entire thing because I put, you know, police shooting radar, and I said, call MASH, you know, find Hawkeye and Klinger, and then I put a picture of Klinger and, you know, his dress and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought that was great. So the guy who originally wrote it gets on and, all this hate, stop all of this hate. I simply posted this to warn people I'm getting all this hate. And people are like, this isn't hate. It's, you put urgent for something that isn't urgent. There's always radar there. And as you mentioned, all the people stating, there's always radar there, and it's the first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
So the police are out. Well, then they should have been on this street. Doesn't matter if you disagree with where the radar is. It isn't urgent, and it's not hate. But the guy was insisting that it was hate. And I thought to myself, that's exactly where we are in our society. You disagree with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't become you disagree with them anymore. Now you are involved in hate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I disagree with you. It's not hate. I disagree with your premise that radar on a road where there's always radar is an urgent update. And when you put urgent, you know that there are people that edit it. So immediately, and then, like I said, I think he did it. Myself, who puts people shoot or police shooting radar?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you saw in the headline was just police shooting. And mm-hmm. so you think it's in your name, and it scared the daylights out of a ton of people. Going,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I went to the website and was police shooting.
He was trying
radar.
To get a rise out of people.
Yeah. And as soon as you objected, you hate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
How dare you rise up when I was just trying to get a rise? I mean, that's the attitude. People need to get a life, frankly. That they're always trying to get attention.
Oh, by the way, for anybody under the age of 60, when I said police shooting radar and I put call MASH, MASH was a show on TV in the 70s. Radar was a character.
Yes. Gary Berghoff.
Gary Berghoff. As I call, as and people may differ on this, and if you differ from me, I will not accuse you of hate. But as I call him, the best supporting character actor of television of all time.
Yes.
I just don't think there was any character that ever portrayed the range of emotions that he could get out of you.
And that character is also the pride of Ottumwa, Iowa.
Yes, exactly. Not to demean Toledo, Ohio, or the Toledo Mudhens.
No.
And Klinger. By the way, if you're under 60, Klinger was another character on the.
Yes.
And he walked around in a dress.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. In order to get out of the Army.
Yes.
Just in case people don't know.
And right.
The thing is, everybody knows MASH because it wasn't on, you know, you didn't see it on reruns for a while there. And now it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's on A&E. It's on Sundance Channel. Everywhere I go, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
MASH is all over the place again.
Yeah.
You can't almost avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there's my my little beef of the day.
Yeah, people need to grow up. And was that in the morning or afternoon?
The radar?
Yeah.
Afternoon. Normally when they're there. They're there all the time. Well, here's the thing. This main drag that I go down, and there's like a 4-mile, you know, main drag through our, you know, through our community that goes right up to the interstate and the
mm-hmm.
tollway.
Mm-hmm.
And that 4 to 5 mile, I'm not sure exactly, 4 to 5 miles, when I come in at, you know, when I'm going by there at 10:30 at night, there's cops all over the place.
Yeah, right.
I get on that road. It's 50 miles an hour for part of it. I'm on cruise control.
Mm.
the 45 part comes, I'm on cruise control.
Well, another thing tells me he was trying to get a rise on the first day of school in the afternoon when parents would be worried about their kids and are likely at work.
Exactly. And so when they see police shooting at that time, right when kids were getting out of school, that's what you see in the headline, because you didn't see police shooting radar.
Yeah, that's a punk move.
That word didn't come in.
That's a punk move.
Yeah.
I'll show you hate. That's a punk move.
Right.
First day of school, and knowing many of those parents are going to be at work.
Oh.
And the first thing that would happen is you'd freak out because you think it's probably near your kid's school.
And by the way, there is a private school from where he's located, probably about 800 to 900 feet away.
Yeah.
There's a small private school, and then the big elementary school is about a half mile where you have to make the turn on the drag, and it's right down there. Yeah. But everybody, when you saw, you know, the police, you know, shooting, and it specifies to your community, which would be about, I'm going to guess, maybe 2 square miles.
Mm-hmm.
Because it listed in a particular section, because there's probably 20 subdivisions that are covered in our local area, but you can edit it to, you know, your particular subdivision, which has a name.
Yeah.
And so it hit our particular subdivision. It was probably about 2 square miles. Our main subdivision, there's actually the subdivisions of the subdivisions, but it was still the one where you say, this is within this police shooting is within a mile of me, and it wasn't a shooting, it was police shooting radar. So I know, but that's where we are in social. That's our social media update for the day. Oh, I have one more coming up here, too. I have to address something that relates to John Brennan and him losing his security clearance and all that. That went on. Also coming up, plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley. Okay, you had to put my microphone on.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading here that Keith Ellison, he was apparently being interviewed, a local reporter for a local station asked Ellison on Wednesday what he would say to his ex-girlfriend if he could. Quote, "I would say we loved each other. We don't have to destroy each other." Is that what you think she's trying to do? I don't know. I don't want to speculate on the motive.
Hmm.
Wow. That's not saying I didn't do it. It's like, let's not destroy each other. And I'm thinking, destroy each other? How are you going to destroy her? I mean, either she's right or you're right.
Yeah.
Either she's telling the truth or she's lying, or you're telling the truth or you're lying. Not both of you will be hurt by doing this.
Now it makes me wonder if there really is a video. If there's a recording of it. I mean, because if that was an attempt to appeal to her, that's a poor attempt.
That was my point. When I read that, I said, whoa.
Because that's what it sounds like.
Right. It sounds like
it is not. I want everybody to know that this didn't happen, and I don't know why she's doing this. I don't really have anything to say to her, but I just want the people of our state to know that I am not guilty of the things she's accusing me of.
Right.
That's what you say if you're innocent.
Right. Because what he's trying to say is the situation here, there is a moral equivalency and we shouldn't hurt each other. That's the message I get out of it. That whatever my side is equals the moral equivalency of her side.
Yes.
So we shouldn't try to hurt each other over this.
Right.
Well, that doesn't seem to be the point that she's making.
Well, because according to the allegations, this was not a spat.
Yes.
If it were an argument, even to rising to a shouting match, you might be able to appeal in such a way. But according to the allegations, that's not what happened. And that is a weird answer to give.
Los Angeles Times here, Melissa Warnke. Keith Ellison seems like a good guy. That has no bearing on the accusations against him. That's a Sherlock statement, is it not?
What do you mean, seems like a good guy? How do you know what he's like behind closed doors?
Oh, that's the seams.
Exactly. That's why celebrities always make it to the top of the most trusted list, right?
Because they pretend they're an ethical character, and yes, then the public buys it.
Exactly. They lie for a living, so that makes them the most trustworthy. For Video Roadlog, here's your forecast.
Although the heaviest of rainfall has ended, significant flooding continues across parts of New York and Pennsylvania. Some of the area's hardest hit include Dauphin, Lebanon, and Schuylkill counties, the Port Carbon and Hershey Park areas. State College and Williamsport have set July rainfall records. And throughout the Mid-Atlantic, including Baltimore, we've seen record rainfall. So a break in the rain for that region today, but again, creeks, rivers, streams will be rising. And there is more rain in the forecast for the region tomorrow, Friday, and for Saturday. Monsoonal moisture is expected today in portions of New Mexico and Arizona, right around the I-10 area. A few drops of rain are expected in Southern California, but not enough to make an impact on wildfires. Most of the rain today will stay east of the Mississippi, and throughout the day we'll be headed for the Tennessee Valley and portions of the upper Great Lakes. Spotty showers along the Gulf States. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Their minds are always working. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary, 866-90 Red Eye. All right, so before we get to the whole John Brennan thing, this sort of fits into what we were talking about yesterday, because this tweet that was directed at us, concerned what we were talking about yesterday, which is just so obvious, which is the only collusion that is documented that nobody debates is that the Hillary campaign and the DNC colluded with the Russians. And if you don't understand it, if you've never heard it yet, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and Hillary Clinton's campaign paid a law firm by the name of Perkins Coie, who paid a group that does research for both political parties called Fusion GPS, who gave money, roughly $160,000, to a former British spy, a foreign national, Christopher Steele, who then went to get dirt on Donald Trump that he claims he got from the Russians inside the Kremlin, close to Putin, which the Democrats then wanted to use in order to destroy the campaign and then delegitimize the election victory of Donald Trump. That's the only collusion that we know. We also know that that information that was unverified, and the majority of it has been debunked so far, there's some parts of it that's still unverified, but anything that would be a problem for Trump in any way has never been verified or debunked completely, was also used to get a FISA warrant, which is a secret warrant against Carter Page of the Trump campaign, and to spy on the campaign. And so we made that yesterday. And so I got a response from one of our listeners, who responds every once in a while, and then when we defeat her in the argument, disappears. This time, apparently, she has deleted her initial tweet. because her point was, well, you can't say there's nothing against Donald Trump. This is, I'm paraphrasing here. You can't say there's anything against Donald Trump because we don't know yet. And I said, well, what we do know is there's no specific allegation. And I went, but there is a specific allegation and evidence against Hillary Clinton. And then she, you know, well, then just wait.
We've been waiting for 2 years.
I said, we've been waiting for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And basically, as I do with anybody in the left, let's make a deal. You know, we are acknowledge wrongdoing where wrongdoing exists, irrespective of party. Join us. I invited her to join us mm-hmm. and be nonpartisan. And if anybody attempted to collude with the Russians to hack or change the outcome of the election, to first off acknowledge it as truth and then see where we go from that point. And I said, please join us. What I got was a deletion of apparently her original tweet, which means that, as we have said before, the left really doesn't want to get to the truth.
No.
Which takes us to, and you were mentioning earlier that Shep Smith on Fox News was talking about the whole thing about, well, the investigation began with Papadopoulos and...
Well, he was countering Giuliani and Giuliani's appearance on Hannity the night before and says, you know, that it was false, that the dossier was the basis for the investigation. And... he says that's wrong. It was not. It was the meeting with Papadopoulos and the Australian diplomat. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, first of all, it was the basis for the application for the warrant because
yes.
the first time that they went to get that warrant on Carter Page,
they couldn't get
the FISA warrant, they were denied the warrant. And what changed? Well, they came back with the dossier. And the dossier is what gave them access to Carter Page in terms of that warrant. So it was the, and the left, keep in mind, well, no, that dossier, no. And then they justify its existence later by saying, oh, well, yeah, no. It did exist. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't a big part of the consideration for the warrant. Well, we don't know that. We have no idea what the courts or the FISA judge in that case said because, well, it's not a matter of record, number one. And B, what we do know is the difference between those two applications for the warrant on Carter Page is the dossier.
Right. Well, our point in general would be, well, then, and this is in our whole point about Trump yesterday taking away the security clearance for John, former CIA director John Brennan,
mm-hmm.
is, as the Wall Street Journal has said in their headline, we agree with them, Evan, the empty Brennan gesture. Trump would be better to declassify the info that Congress is demanding. And the point of going back and forth, you know, I'm done. Sorry to the Trump administration. I'm done with the back and forth and the insults back and forth and the name calling back and forth that doesn't move anything forward.
It's not solving anything.
It's not solving anything. Solves things. Declassify what Congress wants. Mm-hmm. You have the power to do it. Declassify what Congress wants. All of our Democrat friends who disagree with us on what they believe started this whole thing, then you should agree with us. Let's find out the entire truth.
Mm-hmm.
If Trump actually did collude with the Russians to hack the election, I, as an American citizen, wish to know that. You should wish to know that. If the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC colluded with the Russians to get false information, to actually pay to, think about this, it's never brought up this way, the DNC and Hillary Clinton actually paid to get false propaganda from the Russians in order to destroy the Donald Trump campaign, which then the FBI used as evidence to get a FISA warrant to spy on them.
Mm-hmm.
So Russian collusion, which was actually disinformation, actually, if you want to see something that they paid to actually get disinformation from the Russians that wasn't true, was unverified to the point where the FBI got it and used that as evidence to get a secret warrant against the opposition presidential candidate. You should want to know the details if you're a Democrat on that. We wish to know both sides. Why don't you? To the nice young lady who said, well, there might be something with Trump there. Fine. Then you should agree and acknowledge the truth. If you worry about collusion with Donald Trump, you must also be worried about the known collusion of the DNC and Hillary Clinton with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that apparently you have deleted your tweet, and I have invited you many times, join us in our joint venture to declassify all the information that Congress wants so we can get to the truth, and Democrats don't want that. The only reason is you actually don't want the truth. You're just a bunch of political hacks. Just admit it.
Yesterday, I pointed out how Donald Trump Jr. meets with the Russian lawyer, and because he thought he was going to get dirt on Hillary. The left made a big deal about that, and as I pointed out yesterday, there was no information, none, about that meeting that says he was willing to pay for it. Yet we know that the Democrats and the Hillary campaign paid the Russians, essentially. That's where the money went, to get dirt on Trump. And they raised their eyebrows when Donald Trump Jr. sits down with a lawyer, and it ends up not being about dirt on Hillary.
Right.
Still today, Veselnitskaya, the lawyer, says, no, I was never told it was going to be about dirt on Hillary. We were going to talk about the whole adoption thing, which is exactly what they talked about.
Which then you have many asking questions, including us, saying, well, then how was that meeting set up?
Who told him, Donald Trump Jr., that he was going to get dirt on Hillary?
How was there such a miscommunication on that? Which again brings us back to, was that a setup?
Right.
Were they set up in order to do that? By the way, I saw, you know, well, Clapper said yesterday, I said, come on, who uses Clapper anymore?
Mm.
Clapper lied to the American public. In my opinion, he committed perjury. He got out of it because it was the Obama administration didn't want to prosecute him, but he committed perjury before Congress when he said,
yes,
there was no collection of metadata of cell phones. He's an outright liar.
Yes.
And they still use him as a credible, the left still uses him as a credible source. But our invitation to the left is, do you really wish to get the truth? And we can't find anybody on the left. I haven't found one of our listeners, not one, who was furious at Trump that he might have colluded with the Russians early on, that have said, okay, yeah, you're right, the evidence shows that the Democrats were colluding with the Russians. Well, maybe Trump still was, but there's no evidence. But obviously there's evidence that Hillary was. Mm. If you're a Democrat and you hated Trump and you said that, at least I could say you're not a political hack. You're actually saying, look, we can't have this in the election process. But I can't find one Democrat, not one, that is promoting the excuse me, except for what's his name, the former Hillary campaign person.
I can't think of his name.
He's writes for the Hill, and he's been promoting the fact of actually what's going on here and how much he's against, you know, what is happening.
Right.
And the whole he was an aide for He was a aide for the Bill Clinton. I just can't think of his
not
name.
John Solomon.
No. I just can't think of his name here at the moment.
All right.
Yeah, if I said it, you'd say you'd go, oh yeah, because he's been in the news a ton. So okay, I can't find him here at the moment.
But there is no outcry. There is no
Mark Penn.
There is no
Mark
outcry.
Penn. Mark Penn
from the left None. They're the ones that should be screaming.
But Mark Penn has been consistent all along about the Mueller thing. He has seen for it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we have simply asked that if you truly want it, we're open for transparency no matter where it leads us. Why aren't you?
I can't change what happened in the past, but what we can change is how much the American people know about it.
Right.
Because if you're on the left and you believe that that the Trump campaign or Trump himself somebody there is guilty, then what better way to show that? And then what does that lead to? If you also want him out of office, that would lead to impeachment if he's guilty. Let the American people see it.
Democrats claim they want a clean election system, yet you can't find Democrats who actually want a clean election system, because how do you get one? You get it by getting the transparency. And so we know that there will be some criticism of Donald Trump if he declassifies it. Well, you're cherry picking. Well, then offer to give whatever evidence the Democrats wish to declassify to.
Anything and everything.
But it's enough. The president needs to stop with the name calling back and forth that gets us nowhere. You have the power to end this. End it.
Yeah.
Stop with the bickering and the name calling and the arguing back and forth. End it.
He's the one person that holds all that power.
Right. We understand the Brennan thing. I did see somebody in the left, right. Well, then Brennan can't give advice to this administration. I don't think they want it from him.
They're not taking his advice. Right. I don't know that he would give it, actually.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up here, when a liberal starts talking, and it's not Ocasio-Cortez, starts talking about capitalism and socialism and really doesn't even know what socialism is. We'll get to that coming up here in just a
little bit. Why must we define everything,
you know,
says the left?
Well, now that you asked me to define this word, I can't because, you know, labels are wrong.
My version of it would be...
I believe that labels are wrong, you Nazi.
Yes. Why are you trying to label... Why are you such a sexist? A sexist Nazi. Why are you doing that?
But I'm against labels.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.